pretty little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created as a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Friday, July the 18th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Had a few tense moments here this morning. My name is William Roberts. Lack of telephone service, but it was restored in the nick of time. So we're on there, and we're going to go through some very interesting information today. You're not going to want to miss a moment of this broadcast. We're going to continue again on the topic begun in previous broadcast. In today's installment, I'll call Part 5, the International Migration and Development Agenda, Why Our Borders Remain Open to All. And we're going to talk about international law and why that is important for us to understand. We'll take your calls, excuse me, and I welcome your calls, your comments, your questions as they relate to the topics that we're talking about at 1-800-313-9443. And again, I encourage you to listen very closely and take notes, access our RBN show archives, download a copy of today's broadcast onto a disc or CD, and for those without internet access, you can get a copy of today's broadcast by calling RBN directly at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. And when you ask for a copy of today's broadcast, they'll send it out to you in CD form. Ask them to put in a few of those Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism to go with it. Because when you share this information around with the people in your local precinct groups, your property rights groups, or your discussion groups, if you're sitting around talking about Ron Paul's revolution, the manifesto, anytime you get together in a group, share this information with other people because they're not going to find it anywhere else. If there was another place for it, I wouldn't have to be putting it on the air today. I've listened to shortwave and internet radio for years and years and years, and although there are many people that talk about immigration, illegal invasion, and so on and so forth, no one seems to be hitting it on the points that we need to cover. And that's what we're talking about right here in this series, which we're almost finished with, by the way. But I want to lay down in a step-by-step-by-step fashion the foundations, the framework upon which we can restore our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. As long as you're deceived and believe that there's going to be some relief from a two-party corrupt system that we have, then we're just going to continue to be inundated on a day-by-day-by-day basis with the same kind of drivel that we've had to deal with most all of our lives. And so that's just not going to happen. We need to take it on to the next level. We need to get rid of this duopoly that's got us by the throat, strangling us, putting a jackboot on our heads, and come back under the Constitution and the natural law, which is exactly what our founders had in mind. So anyway, I'm going to start off today with a brief reading from a speech that was given by Mr. Ban Ki-moon. Ban Ki-moon. B-A-N-K-I-M-O-O-N. For everybody that knows who he is, raise your hand. Okay, there's a couple out there. But he is the current Secretary General of the United Nations. And he was in Brussels, Belgium, a year ago on the 10th of July. And he had certain remarks that he gave at a press conference following the opening of the Global Forum on Migration and Development, which I'm going to share with you. We're also going to go into a white paper that discusses the expulsion of aliens in international human rights law. And so you're going to see that there is no political will in Washington. There's no political will at the United Nations to do anything other than to continue to allow and to aid and abet illegal alien invasion of all of the developed nations on the planet. We're going to come back from this first break. I'll calm down a little bit after the great rush to get on the air, and we're going to go into this deeper. Stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Life Change Tea is restoring America's health. Want to lose weight? Want to lower blood sugar levels? Want to have more energy? Do you not believe what I'm saying? Then read the testimonies. Go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us and get started today. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. For about a dollar a day, you can change your health, change your weight, and change your life. Again, online orders, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or order by phone, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is formulated by Dr. William W. Miller, Ph.D. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
We're back right here on Become Vocal Local, and for those of you that are just joining us, this is the Friday edition, and we're going to talk a little bit about the United Nations migration system and what the things that are important for you to understand. Now, as I before we were going into the break, I gave you the opening on this press release is really what I'm reading from. This is right out of the Secretary General Office of the Spokesperson, www.un.org. Anyway, what this is a script. There's a series of comments that were made in a press conference, and as long as the audience, the participants, the press that were there, stuck with the agenda, Mr. Ban Ki-moon spoke relatively eloquently and on topic. But as soon as they started to bring up information and questions that were outside of the realm and the scope of this press conference, his communication with them began to decay. I'm not going to go into all of the other things because there were other serious issues, you know, that members of the press had traveled to Belgium to discuss with the Secretary General. We'll just stick with his address following the opening of the Global Forum on Migration and Development. Now, here's what he said and what was written for him, obviously. Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the press. Thank you for coming to this press conference. I think I speak for all of us in saying how happy I am with the extraordinary turnout at this Global Forum on Migration and Development. With more than 140 countries represented, we have easily exceeded 132 countries who participated in the high-level dialogue at the United Nations in September last year. This is not only evidence of how seriously the world takes this issue, it is also a tribute to the vision and dedication and leadership of Belgium, which took the initiative and the risk of hosting this inaugural forum. Doing so was a leap of faith and an act of creation, for which we are all grateful. Let me express my profound appreciation to His Excellency, Prime Minister Guy Verhofstadt, and his government, and also let me especially thank Ambassador de Klerk of Belgium for her leadership. And let me thank my special representative for migration and development, Mr. Peter Sutherland. I am delighted that he has agreed to stay on as my special representative for this post through the next forum. Thank you very much for your willingness to contribute. As we can see the excitement around the event, international migration is an issue of vital importance in the 21st century, which is precisely what I've been saying for these past five broadcasts. It is also a very difficult and complex one to fully understand. As you may agree, so much is at stake. The rights of migrants, countless billions in potential investment for development, the cohesion of our societies, the help of our economies. We must work together to analyze the best way forward. The Global Forum provides a space outside heated domestic political arenas to do that. To understand how we as policymakers can make migration work better for development. Notice, for better for development. To explore what we can do to ensure that the courage and the hard work of the world's 200 million migrants pays off. That they translate into education, knowledge, health, and sustainable development in the parts of the world that need it most. More than 600 delegates, senior policymakers, ministers, heads of international aid agencies, central bank directors have come here to discover what they can do. They have come here to learn from each other and to build a partnership. And weren't we talking about this private-public-private partnership, which is basically corporate fascism? They have come to discuss innovative ways for government and the private sector to work together so remittances can be sent to families at low cost and also help develop financial services in poor communities. They were delivered over the brain drain to understand its true dynamics and how to mitigate it. They will look at ways to ensure that people move in a way that is safe and legal and which protects their rights. There are many more aspects to be discussed. As members of the media, you have a crucial role to play in enriching the debate, in examining the policies of your governments, and in covering the migrants' story. So you can see they're giving them the direction right there. Thank you very much, and we will do our best efforts to make this forum a success, and most importantly, answer your questions. Thank you very much. And so that was Mr. Ban Ki-moon's address before the press, and from that point forward, bedlam ensued, and I won't go into that. But nonetheless, one of the very key players here is this Mr. Peter Sutherland. Mr. Peter Sutherland I'll cover perhaps at another time, but you can certainly look him up on Google. He's a former member of, the World Bank, et cetera, et cetera. He is key and instrumental in this developing, implementing, and promoting international migration and development. And, of course, this entire thing is being driven by money. It's always driven by money. We're not trying to alleviate the poor's, suffering or anything like that. We're doing this for economic development. And, of course, you know who runs the economic development. But now, why can we not get rid of the millions of illegal aliens that are in this country? Why can we not do that? When we talk about amnesty legislation and amnesty discussions, if there's no action taken to actually deport, to expel, to remove the illegals, then in effect, a soft amnesty, it has been approved. That's their policy. It's soft amnesty. They can't get the voters and they can't get Congress to buy off on it. And so what they do is they just choose not to enforce anything. And so they have effected their amnesty. I just call it soft law. It's soft amnesty. But let's look at this. This is a discussion paper. It's a white paper. And it's quite lengthy. I won't read all of it, fortunately. For you, I would love to read it, but that's not possible on air. So this comes out of Geneva. It was produced in September of 2006, at about the same time as the high-level dialogue on international migration and development occurred in New York City at the United Nations headquarters. And this paper, very likely, was a discussion paper created for that meeting. But I'll just start in right here. It says, citizens of a country have the right to enter and leave that country. That's just kind of like a opens Article 13 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and it provides that everyone has the right to leave any country, including his own, and return to his own country. And then it gives other references. But I'll continue. While no state may expel its nationals, in other words, they can't throw us out, it is the sovereign prerogative of states to regulate the presence of foreigners on their territories. Now that we can all agree with. This power is not unlimited, and international human rights law places some restrictions on when and how to exercise this power. So by getting involved with international law then, and there are so many people who are looking to the international law courts to provide remedy for the corruption in the Bush administration, etc., and I caution you that we need to take care of things here in this country and do our own laundry here. We don't want to be involved with these international courts, but international human rights law, as it says again, places some restrictions on when and how to exercise this power. The purpose of this discussion paper is to identify those restrictions. With regard to expulsions, three types of protection are available, namely, substantive protection against return to face grave violations of human rights, procedural safeguards during deportation procedures, and protection with regard to the methods of expulsion. In addition to the general protection afforded to all foreigners, certain categories of foreigners, such as refugees and migrant workers, may be afforded additional protection against expulsions and or benefit from additional procedural safeguards and guarantees. As a preliminary remark, one should note that many terms are used by the states, capital S, to refer to expulsions. In some cases, these are called deportations, removals, and so on. And so here in this opening paragraph, they lay out the general format. And when we talk about deporting illegals, and when we talk about removal and so on, we're talking about expulsion, which is covered under and protected by international law. Now, I'm going to jump back here in the back of this thing, and we'll just go to hopefully something interesting. This is in the back in chapter, looks like chapter 12 or thereabouts, or on page 12. At this point, just diving into this text, at this point, mention should also be made of Article 12.4, which provides that no one shall be arbitrarily deprived of the right to enter or his own country. The committee has pointed out that the provision is not restricted to nationals, and it could also apply to long-term residents who can consider the country of residence as their own country. It would follow that such persons shall not be expelled arbitrarily from that country. However, the committee has been cautious in interpreting Article 12.4 as covering long-term residents. For instance, and then it goes on and gives other stuff, the committee decided that Canada could not be regarded as his own country for the purpose of Article. In other words, this was a Stewart versus Canada, and there was an author that was involved in this who had been convicted of numerous felonies. I'm not going to go into all of it. He'd lived in the country for over 30 years, was brought up there from the age of 7, was married and divorced there, but still had his British citizenship, and so, as I said, the committee decided that Canada could not be regarded as his own country, even though he'd lived there for all that time. Wherever your citizenship is, that is where your country is. And so when we're talking about someone from Guatemala or Cuba or Puerto Rico, they're not United States citizens. Their citizenship is wherever they left from. And the only way to become a United States citizen is to follow the immigration procedures. And as we've heard, many people have difficulty accomplishing that for various reasons. So when we're thinking about this idea of expulsion then, we need to understand that it is just absolutely not going to be possible within the framework of international law to eliminate, expel, remove, or deport the illegal alien population out of this country, no matter who is the president. This is going to take a political will on the part of Congress to set up another set of another framework and to enforce the immigration policies that we have. And if we have to go swinging in with a club at the International Law Court in The Hague, then that's what we're going to need to do, because we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and it's not going to be solved quickly. We'll be back right after this break. Stay with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
And we're back. And I guess I'd have to say that the good news for today is that I've got this information that I've read it and you didn't have to. The hard facts are the information that's contained in here, and the workable solutions remain the same. As long as we continue to allow this two-party system to drive this country, we're never going to be able to come out from underneath this burden. And so as we form our groups and get busy right in the counties where you are, as I say, restoring a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, one precinct, one county, one state at a time, we need to do a major revision in our political thinking. We have allowed ourselves to be dialogued into this consensus that a two-party system is necessary. And on, perhaps later in this broadcast or on future broadcasts, we'll talk about what happens when you divide a house. But the idea here then, going back, is that there's an international law and a global initiative or a global direction that is forcing this migration, this process that's going on around the world. The United States is being used as a tool to affect that. One of the things that we're dealing with is in Iraq and in Afghanistan and perhaps soon to be in Iran. We're involved in the business of making refugees. We're displacing tremendous quantities of people. We're destroying their infrastructure. We're displacing them out of their homes. And so they're now just so many sheep and cattle out wandering on the global plantation, and they're looking for a place to get a drink of water, a slice of bread perhaps, or a bowl of rice, and a place to lay their head that evening. And so we're exacerbating the problem in the actions that we're taking on a global basis, which is why a lot of people say it is our foreign policy that is what is so terribly flawed about the United States. But here, in this white paper, it talks about the Refugee Convention was adopted in 1951 and is the first international instrument to place legal restrictions on state parties' power to expel foreigners. Article 33 lays down the prohibition of refoulement, and I'll stop there, refoulement, that's a returning people to their homeland, according to which no state party shall expel or return or refouler a refugee in any manner whatsoever to the frontiers of territories where his life or his freedom would be threatened on account of his race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or political opinions. So, it was this Refugee Convention which was adopted in 1951, which would require additional study to gain a better comprehensive knowledge of this international migration agenda. Continuing, same section. Since all asylum seekers are presumed to be refugees until proven otherwise, they benefit from the protection afforded by Article 33 unless their claim to refugee status is rejected. Such protection against refoulement can, however, not be invoked by refugees who pose a security threat to the country or who have committed a particularly serious crime. This principle of non-refoulement has become a cornerstone of international refugee law, and it has been argued that it is now part of customary international law. So that those that are looking for common law and a return to common law, then when you put something into customary international law, it is the common law of the nations. Of course, the principle as set out in Article 33 applies only to refugees and persons who are not recognized to be refugees, which can be expelled. A refugee is who is lawfully in the territory of a state party benefits from the additional protection available under Article 32, which prohibits expulsion save on grounds of national security or public order. Article 32 also contains some procedural safeguards, since it provides, for instance, that an expulsion can take place only in pursuance of a decision reached in accordance with due process of law, and that the refugee has a right to submit evidence to clear himself, to appeal to, and be represented before a competent authority. Such procedural safeguards are not available where there are compelling reasons of national security. Now, we'll go into more of this, but I'm just going to take a side note here and say that what we've just heard is that when the refugee or the illegal that finds himself in a territory or is discovered, as we say, when they're discovered, they have the right under international law to submit evidence to clear himself, to appeal to and be represented before a competent authority. Now, would you just kind of wrap your mind around 30 million people who have a right to submit evidence to clear themselves, who have a right to appeal to and be represented before a competent attorney? Is it any question why Michael Chertoff uses as a mantra the need for more beds, the need for more beds, places to warehouse these people so that we can assign public defenders and help them make arrangements with their ambassadorial group so that they can be represented, so that they can submit evidence and try and clear themselves? What a nightmare. And so our Congress is well aware of this. You can be certain. Our president is well aware of this. The millions of people that support the Executive Department and the State Department, they're very well aware of this. And yet this dialogue scarcely makes it onto the airwaves. And so we need to understand it. The International Human Rights Instruments, here's another one, the Convention Against Torture. Every person is protected against expulsion to face torture. Wouldn't that be called rendition? Regardless of what he or she is or may have done in the past. Article 1 of the Convention defines torture as committed by or with the consent of public authorities. A person must fear ill treatment by public authorities in order to invoke the protection of Article 3. Let's jump down to another section, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Well, here comes the break. So we'll just keep going through a few of the highlights out of this lengthy white paper so that you get an idea that there's a bigger argument that's out there, and we need to be aware of it if we're going to combat it effectively. We'll be back right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Your calls are welcome, 1-800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848. How many of you have started your day, gone to work, and felt tired and weighed down? Or you go out at night to dinner, and you're uncomfortable because you're bloated and gassy? Well, the reason for this is that you might not be going to the bathroom enough. Huh, I know people that go to the bathroom once every 4 days, and they think that it's normal. But the worst scenario is when you look down at your belt line, you see your belly sticking out, but you know it's not fat. It's all that food you ate from days before. Well, from Nutritional Leaders New Vitality comes a great product called Colon and Body Cleanse. I take New Vitality's Colon and Body Cleanse because this product is like giving your body a shower on the inside. It cleans your digestive system by sweeping out your 25 feet of intestinal tract with natural herbs. I feel alive and lighter because I don't have anything weighing me down anymore. To try the Colon and Body Cleanse, call 1-800-362-5848. The first 100 callers will get a free gift. Don't wait. Call now. 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Back right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're going through a discussion paper that was prepared in advance of this high-level dialogue that was held on migration and development in New York City at the United Nations building. And we're trying to understand a little bit better of just what is the real discussion? What are the real issues? You know, when a doctor sits out with a patient, a good doctor, one of the first things you need to do is correctly analyze or diagnose the disease. And then even if the pills are bitter, if the treatment aims and has a history of being successful of curing the disease, then when you go into this process of curing the disease, unfortunately, in today's modern world, with the pharmacopoeia being what it is, too often we treat symptoms and symptoms and symptoms. And as long as we continue to focus on symptoms, I like to call it symptomology or victimology, as long as we continue to focus on the symptoms, we're not going to get anywhere about eradicating this super social disease that so certainly besets not only our nation, but the whole world. So today we're looking at the disease. Here's the disease that has metastasized. It has become codified into international law that prohibits the sane and rational expulsion of a bunch of gate crashers, if you will, in our nation that need to go home. They need to find another place, and they need to do it quickly because they're destroying our nation. But let's go into it a little deeper here. The committee, reading from this white paper, has received many communications concerning children who have received or whose parents have received a deportation order and will be separated from one or both parents if the order is executed. The committee's general position is that the mere fact that one member of a family is entitled to remain in the territory of a state does not necessarily mean that requiring other members of the family to leave involves an interference with family life. That's an issue that we need to be aware of. Here's another one. The Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. The Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination does not contain any specific provisions on expulsions. Nevertheless, the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination has adopted a general recommendation on discrimination against non-citizens, in which it has been made several pronouncements regarding expulsions. The committee recommended that national laws on expulsion should not discriminate in purpose or effect among foreigners on the basis of race, color, or ethnic or national origin, and that foreigners should have equal access to the right to challenge expulsion orders. It reiterated that foreigners should not be returned to a country where they are at risk of serious human rights abuses. Finally, it recommended that states' parties avoid expulsions of foreigners, especially long-term residents, that would result in disproportionate interference with the right to family life. That is a major, major barrier. And again, it goes back to the concept of treating each individual with their own bundle of Universal Declaration of Human Rights, with their own bundle of rights, in a court of law, with fair hearings and all the evidence and all of that. It prohibits against what they call profiling and all of that. And so it makes it a absolute legal impossibility to follow this line of reasoning as a response to a border that remains wide open. And I think we need to understand that. Here's another section. The Draft International Convention for the Protection of All Persons from Enforced Disappearance. Whoops, you just disappear in the middle of the night. Article 16 of the Draft Convention expressly prohibits any state party to expel, return, or refouler, surrender, or extradite a person to another state where there are substantial grounds for believing that he or she would be in danger of being subjected to enforced disappearance. Curious. I'll let you fill in the gap there. The provisions add that for the purpose of determining whether there are such grounds, the competent authorities shall take into account all relevant considerations, including, where applicable, the existence in the state concerned of a consistent pattern of gross, flagrant, or mass violations of human rights or of serious violations of international humanitarian law. This follows the practice of the Committee Against Torture. And again, what this paper is doing is they're just going through the whole body of international law, and just like this other compendium, they're gleaning out the appropriate sections for consideration as it regards to international migration and development. Now, here in this section, it talks about other international legal instruments. The 2000 Protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking of persons, especially women and children, supplementing the Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, contains very few provisions dealing with the protection of victims of trafficking. One of the reasons, I would assume, for that is that trafficking in women and children is a big money business. And so, of course, we don't want to make it too difficult to have that happen. It's much the same as dealing in drugs. Go down a little bit further here. It says, mention should be made of the OHCHR recommended principles and guidelines on human rights and human trafficking. Guideline 6 provides that states should ensure the safe and, where possible, voluntary return of trafficked persons and explore the option of residency in the country of destination or third country resettlement in specific circumstances. And so, once again, who gets to pay for all of this? Who gets to pay for all of the legal beagles that are going to be involved in this? Who gets to pay for the airline tickets to get these people back? Who's sending them along with a Department of Homeland Security credit card with a $2,000 limit on it? You know, on and on and on and on. This stuff needs to be known, and it needs to be discussed and made part of the discussion about the illegal aliens. Now we're going to go back to this blue book, and before I gave you some of the information that led up to this conference, the high-level dialogue, now I'm going to give you some of the recommendations that came out of that. Here's the first one. Global Commission on International Migration Recommendation Number 1. The number of people seeking to migrate from one country and continent to another will increase in the years to come. See, so what they do is they just set out their premise in the beginning, that it's going to increase in the years to come. Due to developmental and demographic disparities, as well as differences in the quality of government. States and other stakeholders must take due account of this trend in the formulation of migration policies. So such as they begin badly, they cannot help to end badly. Instead of correctly identifying the problem and locating it within specific nations where these problems of illegal aliens, that is their source country, instead of identifying it and surrounding it and going after the disease, no, instead we'll just proceed to treat symptoms. And that's exactly what this book is all about. Global Commission on International Migration, this is recommendation number 4. The GATS 4 mode negotiations, isn't it something? The GATS 4 mode 4? I don't understand it. Negotiations on the movement of service providers. The movement of service providers, that would be your housekeepers, your lawnmowers, your carpenters, etc., should be brought to a successful conclusion, given the linkage between international trade and international migration. Greater efforts should be made to foster a dialogue between officials and experts dealing with the two issues. So this linkage between international trade and international migration needs to be addressed. It's part of the discussion. Here's commission number 7, recommendation number 7. Cooperative relationships between labor-rich and labor-poor countries are required to promote human capital formation and the development of a global pool of professionals. You like the way they talk about you? Promote human capital formation and the development of a global pool of professionals. We could be out in the backyard at this point. I mean, we could be on the farm. We could have gates and head gates and stock chutes, etc. Providing appropriate pay, working conditions, and career prospects in order to retain key personnel must be an integral component of such strategies. Here's recommendation number 8, and this is so important. Remittances are private money and should not be appropriated by states. Governments and financial institutions should make it easier and cheaper to transfer remittances and thus encourage migrants to remit through formal transfer systems. Again, Peter Sutherland, the special representative to the Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, a former member, I believe, a worker at the World Bank. You know, what we're talking about here is remittances. Remittances is billions of dollars that are being sucked out of the developed nations' economies and being sent back to the undeveloped or the developing nations' economies. This money is being siphoned, obviously. This recommendation says here, remittances are private money and should not be appropriated by states. Obviously and apparently, these remittances are being appropriated by states. So, does it help the developing country? Very little. Does it help our country to have this money vacuumed up out of our economy? Absolutely not. Those dollars do not go into circulation here. So, when the migrant comes in and works and sends back all or a portion of his income home, that money does not go into circulation. That multiplier effect of the haircut that turns into a car payment, which turns into an insurance payment, which turns into a house payment, which comes back around and provides work for someone else, that money is not in circulation. It's simply vacuumed up. So not only are we creating money out of thin air and printing it into existence, then we're turning around and we're just throwing it into a vacuum called developing countries. And I think this needs to stop. It certainly needs to be part of the dialogue. Here's number 9, the Global Commission on International Migration. Measures to encourage the transfer and investment of remittances must be combined with macroeconomic policies in countries of origin that are conducive to economic growth and competitiveness. So much mumbly, but what this is all about is that measures to encourage the transfer and investment of the remittances must be combined with macroeconomic policies in the countries of origin. So we're not trying to solve the problem. What we're doing is we're creating an institution out of that problem. If we go from an instrument to an institution, and then once it turns into an institution, it decays. And this cannot help but decay because it doesn't serve either party. It doesn't serve the developing country because they're not actually generating wealth in their own land. They're just bringing in this sucked up borrowed money, if you will, money that's created out of nothing. And it doesn't help the developed nation either, because it doesn't increase their economy. It doesn't strengthen them. So it's a lose-lose process. This goes right back to Keynesian economics. Keynes felt that you could basically borrow your way into prosperity. Has it worked for you? Doesn't seem to work for me. The deeper in debt you go, the deeper in debt you go. That's all there is to it. Here's number 10, Global Commission on International Migration, Recommendation 10. Diasporas should be encouraged to promote development by saving and investing in their countries of origin and participating in transnational knowledge networks. Now, other than the Hebrews, who else uses the term diaspora? And yet, the writers of this document are looking at these diasporas, these great shifting seas, these herds of human reindeer, this human capital formation that goes from nation to nation. They're looking at these as diasporas. Okay, so that gives it the protection of the word alone. Here's another one, number 13, from the Global Commission on International Migration. Border control policies should form a part of a long-term approach to the issue of irregular migration. Note the key term there, irregular migration. In other words, illegal aliens. That addresses the socioeconomic, governance, and human rights deficits that prompt people to leave their own country. This approach must be based on interstate dialogue and cooperation. Do you think that interstate dialogue and cooperation might be renamed the Security and Prosperity Agreement, partnership? Do you think it might be renamed Building a North American Community? Could it perhaps be the Free Trade Area of the Americas? I think it could be. But look, border control policy should form a part of a long-term approach to the issue of irregular migration. But it doesn't address ending that. It should address the socioeconomic, governance, and human rights deficits that prompt people to leave their own country. So the people of the United States of America are going to have to come in somehow or another and address the socioeconomic, governance, and human rights deficits that exist in all of the rest of the nations on the planet, going in, like Dr. Paul says, interfering where we have absolutely zero authority to go there. Our government has no jurisdiction to do this whatsoever. And yet, this is what is being recommended from the international community. Let's go into it a little further here. Global Commission on International Migration, recommendation number 14. States should address the conditions that promote irregular migration by providing additional opportunities for regular migration and by taking action against employers who engage migrants with irregular status. Now, here we go again. What we're doing is we're taking up the whipping stick, and we're going to go out and beat all of the capitalists to death for taking advantage of all of these illegal aliens that are hanging out behind the 7-Eleven waiting for a job in the morning. Is that the right approach? I think that we have, before we start levying fines, I heard somebody got, I think it was McDonald's or somebody got $1 million fine the other day. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Let's go ahead and penalize the businesses who are already reeling and rocking in this false economy that we've got and do absolutely nothing about this 512-man gang that has a stranglehold and a bottleneck on this entire nation. I think what we really need to do before we start taking a stick to our business community, I think we need to look at the legislative branch and the executive branch and the judicial branch who are aiding and abetting this process and stop going after the employers. Of course, it's just like trying to arrest all of the Johns in an area that has a lot of prostitutes, you know. There's a symbiotic relationship going on here, people, and we need to get after the disease and not the symptoms. Here's another one. Global Commission on International Migration, Recommendation 16. States must strengthen their efforts to combat the distinct criminal phenomena of migrant smuggling and human trafficking. In both cases, perpetrators must be prosecuted, the demand for exploitative services eradicated, and appropriate protection and assistance provided to the victims. Now, we can go on and on. There's many more of these, but I just point your attention, direct your attention to an article that appeared in this week's double issue of the American Free Press, the July 14th and 21st. There's a full-page spread here. It says, Mexican drug violence spills into the United States, into the U.S. Death and destruction are two words that have become synonymous with Iraq and Afghanistan, courtesy of George W. Bush's war on terror, the writer writes. Yet an equally bloody and violent war is being waged much closer to home, only miles across the U.S. border, fueled by the multi-billion-dollar drug industry. Mexico is now the most dangerous place on earth. Worse, the bloodbath threatens to spill over into the U.S., especially if our sovereignty is erased by impending American Union legislation. The carnage precipitated by ruthless drug barons has escalated to such heights that it's become a national emergency. On June 27th, hitmen toting semi-automatic weapons leaped from two speeding cars and killed six policemen in Sonora. A day earlier, senior officer Igor Labastida was slain in a Mexico City restaurant after being ambushed by assassins. Labastida knew he was a marked man because his name was included in a hit list posted by a local drug gang. And on and on. We could read all about it. This is victimology and, again, symptomology. When the United Nations and the international community are forcing it on the developed nations to cure the ills of the world, they just simply advance this long-held dream of the redistribution of wealth, the elimination of private property, and the destruction of the middle class, and particularly in America. We'll be back after this break. Stick with us. This is Become Vocal Local.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Back for the closing minutes of today's broadcast. I'm going to give you a couple more of these little tidbits out of this compendium so that you can understand a much broader picture of the migration process. Here's number 22. While temporary migrants and migrants with irregular status, now that's an illegal alien, are not usually granted the right to integrate in the society where they are living. See how they say are not usually granted the right to integrate in the society where they're living. Their rights should be fully respected, and they should be protected against exploitation and abuse. Now, if you just take and convert that around, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've got somebody standing in your bedroom, leaning over your bed, eyeballing your wife, and you happen to have a .38 special under the pillow, are you going to be sitting there wondering about what this guy's rights are? Doesn't the castle doctrine give you the opportunity to just blow that sucker away right now? If he's halfway in the window, and he's coming in with his tool bag, and you got a Mossberg under the pillow, can you wheel around in bed and just blow the dude right out into the front yard? Absolutely. Okay? So this dialogue here, which keeps focusing back on the rights of these illegal, irregular migrants with irregular status, sometimes they call them undocumented migrants, their rights should be fully respected. It would seem to me that the moment that they step across our border at the wrong place at the wrong time with irregular status, they've foregone all of the rights of anybody, common, polite, nice, decent, human, and they've just simply become a criminal. And if we're going to sit here and ninny over what rights these criminals have, then I think it's time, like I said, to do a checkup from the neck up. We need to be looking at our state legislatures, at our state governor's mansions. We need to be looking at the United States House of Representatives, U.S. Senate. We need to be looking at the judicial branch, the executive branch, the State Department, all of them, with an idea towards Operation Clean Sweep, a removal, a wholesale removal of those that have allowed this and aided it and abetted it, who have gone out and signed up on these international treaties and conventions, who have attended these high-level dialogues and have failed to represent the needs, the wants, and the desires of the people of the United States. There's a real problem out here, a real problem. And it has nothing to do with taking, you know, God bless them for the effort, but it has nothing to do with taking your lawn chair and sitting at the border or spending the night in some pass someplace. What it has to do is getting rid of the disease, not worrying about the symptoms. And so, anyway, there's several ways that you can get a hold of me if you're at all interested. The place to go, I'm going to give you a couple of websites. One thing I would recommend that you do would be to go to freedomadvocates.org. And on there, there's a lot of information, but there also happens to be stored several talks that I've given on August Comte's System of Positivism, Building a One-World Dictatorship. Information there that has to do with Agenda 21, things that are happening, coming on you and at you, as Chris Kernel used to like to say, right where you are in the arena of the various international codes. So there's a lot of information that you can get not only from me there, but also from other contributors. Again, also, we have ozarksvoter.info. It's O-Z-A-R-K-S, voter.info. And our webmaster and others have contributed, as well as myself. And there's quite a bit of information you can look at there. But that's how to get started right where you are, building a property rights congress. And then, if you'd like to, you can also go to our new little baby website. It's called www.vocallocal.org. And there's a few things posted there that you could read and get an idea how to get started. You can also send me an email at host@vocallocal.org. Now it's time for me to say, take action right where you are. Become vocal local. Begin today and never stop. My name is William Roberts. Thank you for listening. And until the next time, good afternoon. Have a great weekend.